Hello, Echo. I hope you can hear me. Hello. Hi. It's hard to cut people off when they're talking about their favorite Bible verse. I mean, that's a hard mingle question to shut down. Like, I feel like we need an hour for that. And somebody's going to come up here. We're going to give them a mic and they're going to testify, right? And they're going to do the teaching. So it wasn't easy for me to, you know, cut that out with my usual hellos, but I needed to so that I could share the word of God with you. Hi, people of the house, people of God. My name is Joanne Moon, and I'm one of the pastors here at Echo, and it's always my honor and privilege to deliver the word of God to you today. Just to share something really personal, it was not an easy week for me on a personal front. So when my husband, who's Pastor TJ, came up and said, the will of God is for us to rejoice and to pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, I thought, man, that's so sexy. You know, I was like, yeah. But not only that, but as we give God our sacrifice of praise, because sometimes it's a sacrifice, you know, it's not easy to give God our thanks when things are not going right and things are rumbling on the inside, but he said, let's do it. And I felt like it, and a lot of you guys brought that too. You are not like, I'm ready to praise the Lord. You're kind of like, oh, you're groaning as you come into the house of God. But you said, I'm going to give God my sacrifice of praise. And I felt like God was pleased with that. And we got to experience God's presence with us as we give him our worship. Amen. So I just thought, yeah, and yeah, praise God. So that's my personal tidbit. We are in the first few weeks of, second week of 2024. And, you know, this year we said the first few weeks, first 3 weeks, we'll spend some time around the word devotion. Do you guys remember that? Because we want to be a people that devote our lives to Jesus and the ways of Jesus. And instead of, you know, surface level and symptomatic corrections, which feel manageable and measurable, right? We want to be a people instead who experience deep, you know, and ongoing through the seasons and lasting transformation, you know, even as we walk through the hardships and the difficulty of life. So last week, Pastor Isaac introduced us to Acts 2 and the early church, how they devoted themselves to prayer, scripture, and fellowship, the community life. And my earnest prayer is that we also become a people of devotion unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that we invite God to have rule, not just consultations, but rule and reign over every aspect of our lives, and so transform us and transform the world around us, through us. Amen? So this week, I believe God wants to speak to us about devotion and scripture. So let's go into prayer before we get into the word. Join me in prayer. Holy and loving God, Jesus Christ, our living word, Jesus, we love you. We open to your speaking and shaping us into a people of devotion. Thank you that your word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart, of our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to us. And pierce our hearts, we pray. Empower us to devote our lives to loving and living by your word. It's in Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen. So today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Hear now the word of the Lord. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today's passage is a familiar one for many of us, right? If you grew up in Sunday school, anybody? I've been going to church since as long as I can remember. And so if you've been a part of Sunday school, then you may have sung a song about it. And if you haven't, in case you haven't heard it, we don't want to discriminate, so I'm going to sing it for you, okay? So if you know it, you could always follow along. It's a little like jingle, okay? Don't build your house on a sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. Well, it might look kind of nice, but you have to build it twice, so you have to build your house once more. You better build your house upon a rock. Make a good foundation on a solid spot. Well, the storms may come and go, but the peace of God you will know. Yay? Yeah. That's why I'm not on the praise team. I'm on the preaching team, okay? But to humble myself and to give honor to the people who lead us into worship, I sing for you guys, okay? So does that song ring a bell for some of you? You're like, I feel like I heard it somewhere before, you know? Our children really need to sing more and more songs that sing scripture, don't you think? I mean, that's a sermon for another day. Anyway, so today's passage is that final story that Jesus offers to close the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. So we're going to take a closer look at the story. It's a teaching and it's a warning, okay? And when we read scripture and decide to take a closer look, we do one of a few things. And one of the things that we want to do today is to find ourselves in the story of God. Like, I want to give an example. When Peter asks Jesus, what about John? Do you guys know the context of that story? It's like Jesus is after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus asks Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And commands him, feed my sheep. But after their moment together, Peter's curious. I don't know, Peter wants to be distracted from his own call. He asks, what about John over there though, Jesus? What about him? What plans do you have for that guy? And Jesus says, what is that to you? You follow me. When you come to scripture to hear God speak, it's about you. It's for you. That's what scripture often does to, you know, get us from glancing and kind of observing and knowing with a comfortable distance to now personally be invited in. We get into the characters and the stories of God and encounter Jesus personally speaking to us. Joanne, Mary, Nixon, he's calling us, and by the power of Holy Spirit, as we encounter Jesus speaking to us, we are being transformed. So when we look closely into our passage today, there's an interesting comparison going on, right? There are two different people, each building a house. And what does that establish, first of all? That you and I, we're all building something. How we live in our relationship with God is likened to building of our own house, which is building of our own lives. In your action, but also in your inaction, you're building. In your knowing, but also in your unknowing, your ignorance, you are building. And in your obedience and your disobedience, you are building. None of us are exempt from building. It's only a matter of whether we build wisely or not. So let's look at the similarities between the two builders today. Both the wise and the foolish share in common. Do you see that? They have same materials that they're working with, so to speak. First thing that they share in common is that they both hear God's word. In verse 24 and 26, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine. So this is the starting point. This is what we're working with. Both hear God's word. And we likewise hear God's word. We have access to scripture. And that's really the blessed reality that all of us here at Echo live in. There are people in the world who have to risk their lives to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because other people haven't heard it before yet. And there are people who are risking their lives to smuggle Bibles still in some part of the world because they don't have access to it. I remember when I was in my 20s, and every summer you're going to like mission trips, right? I mean, I'm going to 2 mission trips some summers, and I'm leading this team to China and bringing bags. You know those immigration bags that Korean people use that are like almost as tall as like your shoulder, and then you're just packing it with like Bible and like sprinkling it with some personal items on top. Like, those people are not dumb. They know what's in there. Anyway, we do that, and when you step off the plane and get to China, for me, the air just felt like different. Have you guys ever felt that? It's like, maybe because I'm doing something that could get me in trouble, or maybe it's because of the principalities of that land. Maybe it's because of the lack of political freedom that they have there, but you just feel this silent but thick intimidation in the atmosphere, and you just feel so sober as you're walking through, looking for that person with the card. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, we made it. Didn't go to jail, you know? But people do this. You know, we do this every summer, or we do this in our own time, going to other nations, bringing Bibles, because why? We recognize the privilege and the power it is to know the Word of God. We here in America, and us here at Echo, we have that privilege. We have God's holy word by the reading of Scripture. So that's the first thing that we have in common as we build. The second similarity that both builders will face is the storm. The rain, the flood, the winds that will inevitably come into our lives, right? Word of God and hardships in life coexisted for these builders, and they will coexist for all of us here, I'm sorry. But it's true. It's not like some of the builders had some material and the others didn't. It's as if they both had wood, they both had steel, they both had pain and bricks, so to speak. So what makes someone a wise builder and the other one a foolish one? What is the defining difference that determines that? The key difference lies in how they, of course, respond to the Word of God, right? It's what they do with what they hear. Hear the Word of God and do it, you are building on a rock. Amen. Hear God's Word and you don't do it, you are now building on sand. So in light of today's passage, God is speaking 3 keys to building wisely. You know, 3 keys to building a life of devotion unto God as we engage Scripture. So let's get right into it, okay? The first thing is this. You have to personally, honestly, truly accept in your own heart that Scripture to you is foundational, not just informational. Can you say that with me? Scripture is foundational. Parentheses, to me, you know? Scripture is foundational, meaning what? It's the basis and groundwork so that we can rest or build something on top of it. It forms a base from which everything else develops and stands. So it's stable. It's strong. It's unchanging. It's immovable. That's the good foundation of the Word of God and the rock of Jesus. Amen? So when you look to Scripture as mere information, one of 2 things could happen. First, the Word of God will seem kind of powerless in your life. As God's Word gets lost in the sea of personal opinions of other people and trends and the latest news and the political climate therein, we are in effect putting the Word of God in the same category as holding the same weight as anything else that sounds compelling out there right now in the moment. And already its power will be hidden from us. And second, what happens when we use the Word of God as just information? We can misuse it. You know, we can misuse it to puff us up and use it for self-promotion and protection from other people. We can use it to weaponize it and condemn and wield it violently towards other people. We know that that can happen. The truth is that I think we've gotten lax with the Bible. We're influenced by the culture around us, and we keep finding ways to insulate our hearts from the Word of God as if it were mere information that we can just pick and choose from. Christians neglect the truth and sound doctrine with consequences that we are starting to see around us, close to us. The sin of neglecting the Word of God has compromised and weakened our spiritual immune system. We are so susceptible to confusion. We're so susceptible to deception more than ever before. I mean, never mind even just the controversial ones. Even the simple and clear commands of God have been tamed and kind of twisted. It's been softened and quieted. We dismiss it. We kind of customize it, we alter it so that it becomes self-serving and people-pleasing. We are more inclined to highlight the promises of Scripture for our lives, but then we willfully ignore its warnings, judgments, and commandments over our lives. Half-truths have always been the devil's method. Devil is trying to divide God's love from God's truth, God's goodness from God's holiness, as if they could be separated. But Jesus is the embodiment of love and truth, of goodness and holiness. He is Word in flesh who walked among us and the rock upon which our lives must be built. He is our foundation. So do we think Scripture is foundational to our living, or do we think it's just good information? Do we hold Scripture with utmost respect and regard, or as one of many possible options? There must be a wholehearted return to the Word of God as foundational to our being as Christians. When we acknowledge that the Word of God is unlike any other information out there, but foundational to our living, then our desires and our decisions will be devoted to honoring it with our lives. Now, the second thing, as a people of devotion, we have to daily read the Word of God. If the Word of God is a foundation of our lives and not just something that we can heed to whenever we feel like it, then we have to immerse ourselves in it, period. This is one strong message that's on my heart for our church. I believe that God wants to raise the bar from bottom up so that we are all in the Word of God, immersed in it daily, deeply. And I pray that your hunger for the Word and the presence of Jesus grows so big, because hunger is a sign of spiritual health. Okay, so when you look at Psalm 1:2, it says, "Blessed is a man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." And I'm looking at day and night and I'm thinking, that sounds pretty daily to me. And it goes on in verse 3, it says, "That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, and whatever they do prospers." Our daily intake of the Word of God is directly correlated to biblical blessedness. And to put it another way, then we won't grow in God right if we're not in the Word. You guys know all the various imageries about the Word of God in Scripture. The Word is our bread, right? Without daily eating of it, we will starve spiritually and it will show. The Word is light. Without it guiding us, we won't see clearly. The Word is a sword. By it, we protect ourselves from self-delusion and from the enemy's attack. What can we even see from these examples alone? Just like a tree cannot live without constant source of water. Just like we cannot live in the natural, you know, without food and light and protection, we need the Word of God to thrive spiritually. Now, some of you guys have been distant from the Word of God. I have been there too. You kind of think like, where's my Bible again? When is the last time I really sat down to open myself to God in the Word? God is calling you to come and sit at his feet. He wants that for you. He wants to speak to you as you read the Word of God. And there's others of us who read the Word daily. We're just savoring every word. You know, God's Word is sweet. It strengthens you. It gives you direction for your life. God's Word speaks to you. Isn't that a really wonderful place to be? It is. Keep going deeper in the Word of God and encounter Jesus there. And then there are still others of us who do agree that the Word of God is important. So we do know about it. We know what He said, and we know what He said, meaning we are living off of other people's revelations, other people's encounters with God. Sounds so cool, you know? But not spending time with God in the Word ourselves. It's time to believe that God will speak to us and show us the things on His heart as we come to Him in the Word ourselves. There is a place for proclamation of the Word of God, like I'm giving today, and there is place for testimonies in the bodies of Christ because it increases our faith and it postures us for more of God, right? But we must not neglect devoting ourselves to the Word of God in our private world. And there's a lot of different ways to engage Scripture. Right? And I encourage you to explore and enjoy all the ways, you know, various types of study, right? Memorization. There's like forms of meditations that you may enjoy. Some people write the whole Bible. I've done that before. My parents and my home church when I was growing up were in that season, and we all got these books. It was like so big. I'm like, how am I going to finish writing all this? My hand hurts. But, you know, they gave us time in the evening to write it out. And I saw an Insta story recently, somebody I knew that was just writing the verses that I think for that day, just one verse a day they were writing in a notebook, just as a meditation and memorization. So there's a lot of different ways you could engage the Word of God daily. And as you do all of these things, as you explore all the ways, never forget also to read it slowly. You know, find God speaking to you personally as you read the Word of God. And you know, plan a time. Make an appointment with God. Make an appointment with God to pray and read the Word of God. You know, some of your appointments will look like 9:15 a.m. once the kids are dropped off at school, and you're like, oh. Your coffee's all cold because you poured it in the morning, but then all the stuff. And so now you're ready to pour another and spend some time in prayer and in the Word. And others of you, you can't do that because, you know, after kids go to school and you're also at work, so you're like, okay, maybe at 10 p.m. before I'm too sleepy, you know, but also like before I have to sleep. So others of you may have said, maybe 10 p.m., you know, it's my time with God before I go to bed. And, you know, some of you are like, it's going to be during my lunch break. You know, I'm going to commit to eating lunch alone or maybe with somebody to discuss it. Or some of you, you're like, oh no, I'm not in that season of life. I have a baby. I know. So you go, when the baby goes down for a nap, finally, I'll give God 10 minutes. 10 minutes. You better speak to me. No, we don't talk to God like that, right? But we go, God, I'm here. Please, I'm frazzled, and can you please talk to me, right? So some of your appointments, you know, it could even look like, you know, I'm going to give God a 30-minute block in my day whenever I know that it's coming. Like I could tell that I'm going to have 30 minutes in that time of the day. I'm going to give those 30 minutes to God, but I'm committing to 30 minutes, right? Whatever it is, whenever you could secure it, but make an appointment with God. Let it take up your calendar space. You know, like Word with God, I don't know, hear from God. Like put it in there, like color code it, like do red, like so like blood and I don't know. It should take up actual time in your day to read the Word of God daily and keep it up. Because, you know, planning ahead, coming on time, and once you're there, staying present and looking forward to more, doesn't that sound like love? Doesn't that sound romantic? And that leads me to my third point. The third key to living as a people of devotion is that we have to do the Word of God, right? We have to obey. As Jesus closes the Sermon on the Mount, he warns that his hearers will be judged on whether they hear the words of God and they do it, or whether they let their ears enjoy the sound of the words, but then leave them as memory without doing anything about them. Doing what Jesus says or not doing it, this makes the difference between a house that stands firm in a storm and a house that falls with a great crash. When I was in New Jersey in my years in seminary, which is like a million years ago, like it feels like 1 million, I remember Pastor Jeanette referring to California affectionately as a promised land. I imagine there are, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. It's a great state. But, you know, for her, it could be family is all there. Friends are all there. You know, good food, the beach, her alma mater, UCLA, right? ACLAP, I don't know that because I didn't go there. But, you know, she just like really raved about it. She was like the spokesperson for California, the promised land, you know? But I think weather had to be one of the reasons. Would you agree? I think people in different states make fun of us because we don't know what to do when it rains. We don't laugh because we're like, that's not true. But people in other states think so, okay? We practically stop driving. We practically stop living in their mind. A teacher recently told me, just actually on Tuesday, she was from Pennsylvania, and then she came to California and started teaching, and she said, there was one day when almost half her elementary class didn't show up because it was a really particularly rainy day. And she was just like, what is going on? But even in sunny Southern California, rain, maybe many floods, and winds do roll in. We do have blue, cloudless skies and, you know, mild temperature and the beautiful vegetation around us. And, you know, sometimes they have us forgetting. And they get us surprised when rain, floods, and winds start beating on our front door. We're like, oh, where's my umbrella? Where's my rain boot? I don't own one, you know? Like, we aren't ready, even though we know that they will come. They do come every year. And this naturally reflects our spiritual reality too, that we can't build our house for perfect sunny days only, because storms do and they will come. So let's take a moment for personal reflection. You know, what was the storm that came into your life in the past season? And how well did you stand that storm of your life? And what is your current storm that you're facing? And how's that going for you? Sometimes, you know, storm comes looking like something seemingly small as somebody's comment, you know? But it's bruised and left kind of a mark on the wall of your house. Sometimes it's an unexpected turn of events and loss, sickness, relational pains, right? Sometimes it's changing relationships, you know, changing roles and responsibilities, because even good changes can be hard. And sometimes it's this howling sound of wind, you know, reminding you of your emptiness and failure. Building on the rock is doing what God said. Through the seasons. You know, go into the house of God, keep the Sabbath. Don't only do it when it's convenient, because that's not information, but it's our foundation upon which our life is built. Pray frequently. Shout out to PI, okay? Matthew 6:6. Shut your door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Pray faithfully, right? James 1:6 says, when you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all. This one I'm really trying. Turn the other cheek. Forgive 77 times. Love your enemies. Don't just hear the word, but do them. This is building securely on a rock for the times to come. The measure of success in Christian life is not how happy you are in the moment. It's not even how strong you are on your own. It's not how much you can withstand without other people helping you out, but that somehow, through all of this and all of life's stuff, you are held up and standing despite it all. You know, 2 Corinthians 2:8 through 9 says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And that's because of our repeated doings. Repeated yeses. Ongoing obedience to the word of God, which has you standing securely and attached to something firm and unshakable, which is Christ our Lord. Build your house with your obedience on the rock of Jesus and be a part of the house of God, that will last forever. So in closing, I just want to remind you that Jesus already told us how to love him. You know, how he receives his love. Love language of Jesus, if you will. Some people say it's all of it, you know, all five of them. Yeah. But how we express that, at the core of it, is that we obey his commands. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In the same way that you could imagine our love for one another growing cold and cheap without showing up in action, we substantiate our love with obedience to what God is saying to us in this hour. And at the end of the day, can devotion be anything else but love? A singularly focused love in action. We are a people who are singularly focused on Jesus. His word is our foundation. We read it daily, open ourselves to God speaking to us, and always ask, what can I obey? Trusting that Holy Spirit will help us obey. It's brick by brick, nail by nail, stroke by stroke, making a sturdy and strong life that withstands life's inevitable storms until Jesus comes back. And we are at home with him that will last forever. So echo, people of God, people of devotion. This week, let's pray frequently and faithfully. Let's also stand firm on the foundation of the Word of God, daily entering it, daily obeying Him out of love and devotion unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor TJ up for benediction.
Amen. Let's close our eyes and just sit with the Lord. What is your house built on? Do you feel it crumbling, falling? Or do you feel like it's firm, that it's strong? And how is the Lord calling you to obedience to his word? Is he calling you to reconciliation, to devotion, to compassion? Let's do it. Let's build our house upon the rock, upon firm foundation. Because the Lord loves us, and the Lord wants us to flourish. He loves us. So Lord, we thank you for your word. It's so sweet. It's like honey to our lips, God. And it's so sweet because, Lord, you give us the peace, the shalom, that when the storms come, and it's a guarantee that they will, when they come, Lord, we're able to stand firm upon your foundation, God. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, every single person in this church may devote themselves in prayer and in reading your word, and most importantly, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, that they would do your word, that they would obey, that they would live your word. So may the Lord bless you. May he cause you to prosper richly this week in every good spiritual gift there is in Christ Jesus. May he watch over, guard, and protect you and all whom you love. May his countenance be upon you, his face turned toward you, such that you would see in Jesus how very much he loves you, accepts you right where you are, and invites you to follow him. May he be gracious unto you. May you sense his favor, mercy, and goodness as you walk with him this week. May the Lord grant you peace. May you be at rest and centered in Jesus, who is our Lord. And through him, we ask all these things. And may Christ be victorious in you. Amen.